I'm preaching this lesson on a night in which Kentucky is not playing. They played last night. I understand it was quite a thrilling end, last second shot, if you will. And that's what I heard. I didn't actually see it myself. But I know the game is tomorrow. And so this falls perfectly right in between, doesn't it? Because I have to sort of apologize to John last week when I came up here and shared a lesson when our young men were part of it. I asked how much time was left. Y'all remember this? How much time was left on the game? I knew Kentucky was playing, so I wanted to make sure he was listening to me. And John went like this, or something, when I saw three, but he meant zero. So I thought there were 3 minutes, and I called him out, Brother John, I'm sorry about that. But we are here together, and I hope that you are ready to listen and pay attention, because I have interesting things to say. Indeed, the things I have to say are like they are normally. They're not very eloquent, but hopefully we can learn and we can study and we can grow because we're thinking about the Bible and what the Bible has to say for us. And in this case, we want to talk about listening and listening well. During Jesus' ministry, those 3 years, he did amazing things. One of the things he did was he would conclude a number of his lessons or a number of his teachings or whatever by saying something like, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now this is an intriguing passage for me. I know I've brought it up on a number of different occasions, a number of different sermons. But of course, if we were to hear this statement, and no doubt they felt the same, of course they would say, obviously we have ears. We can hear what you're saying. We know what you're talking about. But then, you know, the way they would respond to the teaching told us they weren't really listening at all. Because if they were listening to things Jesus had to say, it would have made a drastic impact upon the way they thought and lived and talked and did everything they were supposed to do. Much like I think we see in Bart's examples this morning of the woman who was healed, the man... That Jesus healed the blind man, or excuse me, the woman whose daughter had the demon, and then the blind man. Well, they knew who Jesus was by the things, his reputation, by the things he had done, and they came to him, and they listened to what he said, and look at the life that changed for them. You know, this was something that Jesus said, for instance, concerning John the Immerser, when John was teaching about the coming of the kingdom. He told them in Matthew 11:15, if you had ears to hear, you would understand what he said, what he talked about. He used this phrase to talk about the parable of the seed or the parable of the sower. If you really want to understand my role in this world, you will understand. Try to understand and listen to this parable. He talked about the parable of the weeds in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, and brought up this saying, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I want to talk about that today because this is a popular part of Jesus' teaching. And we have to ask the question, what is he talking about? What is his point? What does he mean when he says something like this? Well, ultimately, it's an easier and more poetic way of saying the very boring. What is being said is very important, so you better pay attention and listen. Can you imagine Jesus having to repeat that every time he said something to somebody? No, he said, listen, if you got ears, then hear what I'm saying. It's very short and to the point, isn't it? And certainly I think we can share his sentiment there, and we know what he's trying to say to us. But I think for us as well, and this is a big reason, or perhaps the main reason I want to talk about this tonight, is because when Jesus used this phrase, he was telling us that this was a problem he dealt with then. People just had a hard time listening. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're going to recognize that this is still a problem today. Many people just don't listen. Or if they don't listen, they don't listen in a way to which they can understand. So that's what I want to discuss tonight. Because if it concerned Jesus, it should concern us too. And so we're going to think about that some this evening. So the first thing I want to do, really I have two main points, a number of sub-points for you, but my two main points are very simple. And the first one is, using Scripture, I want us to identify three different types of listeners. How does Jesus himself describe those people that he talked to? Right? When he saw their response and the way they reacted to his teachings, he could tell if they were getting it or not. And so how does he identify these people? Well, the first group of people that he discusses, or that he talks about, if you will, are those of the dull of hearing, right? Those of that are dull of hearing, or we can say hard of hearing, right? They may hear something, but for them and in whatever circumstance they're in, they just don't really hear much of anything at all. Now, this phrase, I'm actually getting it from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, because that's what some of the Christians were like in this particular letter. This is what this verse says here. About this, we have much to say, but it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. Now, if you've studied Hebrews at all, you know that what this letter is talking about is some heavy stuff. Stuff that requires a lot of attention, that requires a lot of study. It's not like some of the basic sayings here and there of Jesus in the Gospels, or those passages that we teach our young ones to memorize that are so memorable. You know, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, that seems so simple and straightforward, but when you read Hebrews, boy, he gets right into it, and it's deep. But he stops at chapter 5, verse 11, and he says, you know, I wish I could go on and talk more about this stuff, because it's amazing, but I got to stop here because I know you guys are going to have a hard time listening to what I'm saying. And that's one of the problems with the Hebrew letter. He's talking to people who have become so dull of hearing that it's affected whether or not they can be effective Christians. I want you to note that a person has this sort of problem when, for instance, it's hard for other people to explain something to them. Now, why it's difficult for that individual could be a number of reasons, but in general, I think that description fits the bill. When you have a hard time of explaining something to someone, it could be simply because they are hard of hearing, if you will. They're not really listening. They have a hard time listening and grasping what is taking place. So the fault in this case is not with the subject, right? It's not with whatever teaching you're dealing with, whatever portion of Scripture you're dealing with. It's also not with the presenter. So it wouldn't be with me, for instance, as much as I try to make things simple, and I know I don't always accomplish that. But it's not so much with me. That's not the point. This phrase is speaking of those people who just have a hard time listening, because they simply have a hard time listening. Isaiah wrote of these sort of people, and Jesus applied it to many in his day. Turn to Matthew 13. Look at a couple of verses here. Matthew quoting, if you will, from Isaiah to speak about the condition of the people that he dealt with. Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15, where Jesus, quoting Isaiah, says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Going all the way back to Isaiah's day, this was directed toward Israel when they had become so hard-hearted, and therefore so hard of hearing, that whatever God sent Isaiah to say to them, God knew that they weren't going to listen to it. And so God said to Isaiah, look, I'm going to send you out, and all you're going to do is you're going to make them more hard-hearted, more hard of hearing, more blind, if you will. And when did you know that when Jesus comes on the scene, the Messiah, the one about whom the Old Testament has prophesied and spoken of for hundreds, if not thousands of years, he finally comes on the scene and the people reject him. And according to this passage, they reject him because they weren't really listening. They weren't grasping what it was that Jesus was discussing. But you know what this passage also tells us here in verse 15, the very end of verse 15, is that people are hard of hearing or dull of hearing because they are dull of heart. Within their heart of hearts, they ultimately just don't care about what it is you're teaching, about the message of the gospel or whatever it may be. And because of that, it prevents them from understanding truth. It prevents them from understanding truth. It turns them away from God into sin. And it keeps them from being saved. So this is a very dangerous position to be in, isn't it? You and I think we would say we don't want to be like this kind of person. We don't want to be like this kind of listener. And so hopefully tonight we can identify who we are and we can make the correction as needed. Let's talk about the second group of people, those with itching ears. Those with itching ears. This phrase comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where Paul describes the people he's discussing here in this way. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." In other words, there's going to come a time, in fact, it even had to have occurred then to some extent, when people would turn away from truth simply because they liked this guy better, right? He said the sort of things that they like to hear, right? Or they'd go to this guy over here because, man, he is so eloquent and he's just such a good speaker. And I just love to listen to him. When the focus, right, should be on truth. I realize, and I'm not saying this, you know, to say, oh, look how humble I am or something else. I know for a fact I am not the greatest speaker who's ever talked about the Bible. I know this. But from my perspective, when I hear other preachers, and certainly I've heard some that are better than others, but when I hear preachers, my main concern about what they say is about the content of what they say. Are they speaking truth? What is it they're talking about? Are they talking about what the Bible really says, or they're just trying to use the Bible to say what they want it to say? And I hope that we can all share that sentiment, because that's what it's about here. That's what sound teaching and preaching is about. But you know, some people like to choose who they listen to or not listen to. And in this case, these people with itching ears, as it's described by us by Paul in 2 Timothy, are those people that like to listen to only that which is pleasing to them. And so they don't like sound teaching, which makes sense of this passage, doesn't it? And they will find the teachers they want, but then they will turn from truth into myth, if you will. Unfortunately, many today are afflicted with this problem. I certainly hope not many of us, if any of us, have this problem. But at least we know that we can fall into that temptation and fall into that sin. Not to mention, if you will, friends and family, perhaps. It's very difficult. But let's talk about the third group of people, those whom Jesus describes in Luke 8, verse 15, as honest and good, as of honest and good heart, all right? Those who hear in an honest and good heart. This is where we get Luke 8, 15. Jesus says specifically, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." I would say, and I think you would agree, Acts 17, 11, the Bereans were these sorts of people who checked Scripture to make sure that what was being taught was correct. They were good individuals concerned with truth. They were open-minded people, the Bereans were, Acts 17, verse 11. They were open-minded people, and therefore they were willing to give Paul a fair hearing. He came saying, "I have something important to teach you," and they did their best to listen. And it showed, because according to Acts 17, verse 11, they received the word. You and I, when we talk about receiving a package, you know, it doesn't seem like really all that big a deal, but think about it as far as sound teaching goes. They received it, and the text says they received it with eagerness. They were so excited about what Paul was teaching to them. And so I think it's obvious which group you and I should fall into, right? We should be this kind of listener. Those who have a good and honest heart, who want to obey the truth. Well, the second thing I want to talk about this evening is why this is important. Why is it important that you and I not only identify what kind of listener we are now, but why we seek to make a change if indeed we're not this third one? Why is this important? Well, there are several reasons I want to share with you tonight. And the first one is that good listening is essential for being blessed by God. It is essential for being blessed by God. Because those who are willing to listen properly, the Bible tells us there are wonderful things in store for them. Look at Matthew 13, verses 16 through 17. Matthew 13, verses 16 through 17. Jesus says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." What is Jesus talking about here? Well, if we were to take a step back and look at those great figures of the Old Testament that God chose to use in such powerful ways, like David and Daniel and the other prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and whoever else we may name there, do you realize that if you listen to the Bible, if you intently listen with an honest and good heart, you are going to listen to things and understand things that not even they knew. Now, isn't that a blessing in and of itself? That you and I get to listen to things and understand things about the will of God that even these great people of the Old Testament never knew. What a privileged position we are in today. This reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, where Peter says, "It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." What is Peter talking about? Peter's talking about the same thing. That those great prophets of old, all those people that God had used to share his message and to the people that he revealed his message to so they could ultimately write it down and share it with other people then, Peter says, ultimately that wasn't for them or even the people they were talking to. That's for us today. This, I think, goes hand in hand, Bart, with why the Old Testament is so important for us today. Even so, and that's just a side note there. I look forward to those lessons again next Sunday. But something remarkable also about this passage, 1 Peter 1:12, is that you and I get to partake of things that even angels don't know about. Now, as we speak, the angels are within the very presence of God. That's what they do. They're there and they're singing his praises. And so they see his glory and his power, and they see all of that, but they still don't really know anything about the gospel. I mean, just think about that. That you and I are a part of a blessing of which angels cannot even partake. And they want to know what it's like. Oh, I find it remarkable. I love just thinking about that sort of thing. And of course, these blessings that we're discussing are those wonderful blessings that are made exclusively to us through Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, for instance. And so think about it. We miss out on these blessings if we don't carefully listen. All right, so that's the first reason for you. And that, in my mind, is sufficient enough, but I have some others as well. All right? The second reason why good listening is essential is because it is essential to saving faith. It's essential to the sort of faith that God wants you and I to have so as we can have salvation. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel because it's the gospel that gives the power of salvation. God has ordained that you and I are saved through faith in Christ. That message is clear. It is evident in the Bible. But you know what Paul will later say in Romans? In fact, this is a passage that we often quote and we refer to when we talk about those steps of salvation, if you will. But he describes for us in chapter 10, verses 14 and 17, Romans 10, verses 14 and 17, that the kind of faith that saves us is the kind of faith that comes from proclaiming the gospel, which by necessity means that we have to listen to the one who's proclaiming it. Romans 10, let's read these verses, 14 and verse 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10, 14 and verse 17. Well, while one can certainly gain faith, I think, by simply reading to God's word, and we would even call that a form of listening, wouldn't we? As we read and engage Scripture, we could say, you're doing your best to listen to the message. In fact, John said as much in John 20, verses 30 and 31, the reason he was writing his gospel, so that you and I can understand who Jesus is and what he was about and what his goal was and all of that. But the fact remains that many today are often dependent upon what they hear other people proclaim about the gospel. Well, one reason faith is often lacking, I think, is because people are simply not good listeners. Why do we see people? Why is there such a range of people that are, everybody's in Christ, if you will, but you have some people that are so faithful to him, and you have some people that just aren't. And that struggle there and that frustration that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, why is it? Well, it might be because there's different ranges of listening. And if that is the case, then these people who are not good listeners, they miss out on the evidence of God's word that God has put in here to produce saving faith. Do you see what I'm saying? Why is it important to listen? Because your faith and your salvation depends on it. So I ask you, does your listening hinder your development? If you're not really listening to the things that are being preached here Sunday morning, Wednesday morning, or Wednesday morning, that'd be something, Wednesday evening, is your faith growing? Is it developing the way that God has desired? Well, if you start listening better, things can change. Number three, it's also essential. Good hearing is essential to bearing fruit. I want to come back to Luke 8:15. We've looked at this passage, but I want you to notice what another detail of this verse we did not mention before. Because here again, we have the parable of the seed, where Jesus is talking about the only kind of soil, which is the heart, the only kind of soil that is capable of bearing fruit. Specifically, it's the soil that is listening properly. Listen to what Jesus says again, Luke 8:15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is because bearing fruit comes from hearing the grace of God. That's what Paul tells us in Colossians 1, verse 6. I want you to note that the gospel was bearing fruit among the Colossians. Obviously, the gospel bore fruit among many first century Christians at the time, but Colossians especially, it was really growing, it was really maturing, and it was doing amazing things. And according to Colossians 1, verse 6, it was happening since the day, look at this passage, Colossians 1, verse 6, they were bearing fruit since the day that they heard the gospel and understood the grace of God in truth. So you see what hearing does? If you and I hear the message and we truly understand it, we allow it to sink in, it bears that fruit that God wants us to bear as his children. Because only by listening can we understand God's grace and be thus motivated to bear fruit for his glory. Number four, good listening, good hearing is essential to preventing apostasy. There is a real danger in drifting from God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read three verses here. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. This passage really speaks for itself, and I don't know really how I could clarify it any better or add anything to it. Just listen to what God has revealed to us here in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. He says, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, speaking of the Old Testament, of course, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, talking about all the different laws of the Old Testament, and what happens if you obey them and what happens if you don't. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord and is attested to us by those who have heard. In other words, real punishment is awaiting those who have heard the message and drift away. And so I just repeat verse 1. What is the only solution to this problem? We have to pay closer attention to what we've heard. That's the only way to keep us from distancing ourselves from God, from falling away, if you will. Because poor listening is often, in fact, it must be, the very first step in apostasy and falling away and not caring about the truth and moving and living a life for yourself instead of for God and the church and for Christ. Number 5, good listening is essential to avoiding rejection and condemnation. There is some overlap here, but let me explain. If we do not listen as we should, then we have to bear in mind that those who teach God's word have, in a sense, a right to reject us and move on to other people who will listen. This is what we see Jesus telling his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. This is when he sent them out on their missionary work, you remember, when they went two by two and they had to go house to house. And depending on how the people responded to them at this house, they would do this. And if they responded at this house in this way, they would do this. You remember? If they welcomed them in, they are to bless that home and stay there and share the gospel and do all that. But if they don't listen, Jesus says to his disciples, wipe the dust from your feet and leave that house and leave the town. Because I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for that town than it would be, or than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, if you can imagine that. That's how important the gospel is. If they don't receive you or they don't listen to your words, leave them and go find somebody who will listen. Now that is a scary thought, isn't it? But those who teach God's word may move on if we're not going to listen. Also, if we don't listen as we should, we are judging ourselves to be unworthy of eternal life. Now, maybe we don't think about it in those terms, but if we're not listening to the gospel, then ultimately what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not worthy of it anyway, so I don't really care. And what a terrible thought that is. I want us to read a passage here, a lengthy passage from Acts 13. Turn over there with me, Acts 13. Starting in verse 44. Acts 13, starting in verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, speaking to the Jews, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you light for Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Well, I suggest to you that if for our own purposes, if we're concerned so much with ourselves that we're going to contradict those who speak the truth, then we're not doing anything different than what the Jews were doing then. They consider themselves unworthy of eternal life by rejecting the truth. And you and I can do that if we don't listen. Because that is, after all, what we're implicitly stating. We just don't care. If we reject the gospel, and perhaps by poor listening, Then we're told in Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 through 42, that the men of Nineveh and the queen of the south will condemn us at the judgment. I know you remember this passage. The men of Nineveh repented after hearing just one lesson from Jonah. And Jesus says in Matthew 12 that if we reject the gospel, after having been given so many opportunities to respond to it, what do you think is going to happen on judgment day? The men of Nineveh, in a sense, will condemn us. Because all they heard was Jonah. You and I have heard Jesus. What about the queen of the south, who went to such great lengths to hear the wisdom of Solomon? Are we willing to go just a short distance to hear God's word proclaimed? Or will she rise up? Because you and I are not really interested in listening to it, and so we make up excuses about not coming to study and to worship. The rejection and condemnation is not limited to coming from just these individuals. Because what we do know is that it's going to come from God too. If we reject the gospel, if we ultimately reject Jesus by not listening intently to the message of salvation, what do you think will be in store for us? Hopefully tonight we appreciate the wonderful opportunities we've been given to listen to God's word. And we can appreciate the importance of good listening so that ultimately you and I can be blessed in the things that we do. I mean, that is my goal tonight. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm not trying to discourage you in some way. I'm trying to encourage you that if you are somebody who has this sort of problem, that you can identify it and change. It all begins with listening in a proper way. And so how important is listening then? Well, when it comes to listening to God, it's very important. This is where we come to Isaiah 55, verses 2 through 3, the passage that Glenn read for us, that I want to read again, because I think it puts it in very good and a wonderful perspective for us. Why do you spend your money? Remember, this is a prophet talking hundreds, thousands of years ago. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Where you and I are part of the covenant that he promised to David today, if we but listen and hear. And so the blessing of all of this is that it's essential for the good of our soul, thinking forward beyond this life, because we know this life is not all there is. And I want to ask a question as we close this out. Is there ever a time when God does not listen to us? It's an important question, a pertinent question. And I want to tell you, yes, there is. According to Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2, God does not listen to us when there are sins that come between us. Speaking of us and God. This is what Isaiah says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. Sin is a very real problem, and one that we have been given the solution to, namely Jesus, and so we can overcome that. We can take care of that problem by seeking and receiving the mercy of God. For this is what Isaiah also said in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to do God and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Well, today, that mercy is offered through Christ, and tonight, the mercy is offered through the invitation. As God said in Luke 9:35, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. And so have you heeded him by obeying his word? Or does the following cry of Jesus apply to you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? From Luke 6:46. I do not know where you stand, although I may have a have a good inkling of that, but we are all our own person, and we know exactly what our relationship is like with God. And so the invitation is available to all tonight, either to repent of sins and seek restoration, or in the first place, to have your sins forgiven. And you do that, of course, through hearing the gospel, the emphasis of tonight's lesson, by believing the gospel, by confessing Jesus as Lord, by repenting of your sins, by being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, and by thereafter living a faithful life. So if you are a subject to either one of these, I beg you to come forward as we stand and sing.